Our thoughts this evening are entitled The Practice of Casting Lots. You know, I've got a few questions about this, and you probably too do too as well, because what is the practice of casting lots? When was it used? What was it for, and so forth? You know, why did I choose this subject? Well, I have to say that we are currently in Tabernacle Shadow Study, and we've just gotten through the section on the selection of the scapegoat. Of course, that was done by casting lots. And then a few weeks ago, we had a special study on Proverbs 18:18, and that's all about casting lots as well. And so that made me curious. And with that, I wanted to look into it a little more. You know, casting lots in Proverbs 18 is an interesting one. It says, casting the lot settles disputes and keeps strong opponents apart. So in this particular advice from Solomon, it's wisdom for settling disputes. And this is really acknowledged not just for those that are spiritually minded, but across the board. It seems to be a method of settling disputes. Who's going to get this property, or which way is this decision going to go? Now, how does casting lots work? You know, when we look at it, there's really no detailed description in Scripture. And when you look at the Bible commentaries, there's not even wide agreement on the particulars of it, but we know a few things. First of all, they probably use pebbles. And yes, we know at times throughout history, people have used little twigs and sticks as well. But the reason that we think it was pebbles in the biblical sense was that the word for lot is properly a pebble. So we think this was the method selected. And one of the things that had to happen was the pebbles had to be distinctive so you could distinguish whose lot was being selected. And they were put in either a vessel or a garment, and then they were either shaken out or drawn out, and that gave you the selection. So it really helped make a decision when there was no one to mediate for that. Well, isn't casting lots kind of like gambling, rolling the dice, so to speak? Well, in Proverbs 16:33, this is the other proverb that deals with casting lots. It says, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. So in the context of biblical use of casting lots, this is really an indication of the decision of the Lord concerning the decision. And so they're seeking God's will. It's to discern God's will. That was the purpose of it. And, you know, if they employed God in these decisions, then the will of God was revealed in the casting of lots. So how did casting of lots work? Well, it's in the computer field, we would call, there's two different styles of casting lots. One was a binary answer, which was yes or no, select or don't select. And of course, we have an example of this in Leviticus 16:8-10. And this is the tabernacle picture where they were, the Day of Atonement, when they were selecting the scapegoat. And it was Aaron who is to cast lot for the two goats, and then he's to put his hands on them. But the goat chosen by the lot as the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to be used for the making of atonement by sending it out into the wilderness as a scapegoat. And of course, this was basically a death sentence because that scapegoat in the desert would be vulnerable to predators and so forth. But that was the picture there. And so it was the laying out, there was casting lots and then laying on the hands and sending that goat out. So once again, this was the method prescribed by God, and the outcome was preordained by God as well. The second method of casting lots was a multiple selection answer. And we have an example of this in the division of the land amongst the 12 tribes. And we find this in Joshua 18, verses 5 and 6. You are to divide the land into seven parts. And of course, he had already talked about some other parts that he had specific grants on because of some things that the Lord had said. But basically, this is when they all put their lots in there. They were told to go out and describe the territories. And then the territories were described, and a lot was chosen, and that was awarded to whoever's lot that was, and so forth. And it said, I will cast lots for you in the presence of the Lord our God. And so this was the division of the land. Another instance when it resolved multiple selections, and there's more than just this one. You know, the apostles also tried to cast lots. Well, I guess they did it successfully. It's just God didn't like their answer. And we find this in Acts chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Now, I think they were very sincere based on their actions. They prayed to God. They asked that God show them which of the men should be chosen. And then they cast lots. And based on that, Matthias was selected to become an apostle to the other 11. So they thought they were doing what was right in God's sight, but God overruled their choice, which was an indication that the time of using this method to discern God's will was coming to an end. You know, there's another example of heathens casting lots and in a biblical context, and we find this in Matthew 27:35. And this was when they casted lots after they had crucified Jesus, and they casted lots over his garments, and his garments were very fine. And this was in fulfillment to Psalm 22:18. They shall part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. And so this, even though it was a heathen use of this method, fulfilled God's prophecy. So in that sense, we can say it fulfilled God's will as well. You know, there are many prominent examples of casting lots in the scriptures. We've mentioned the scapegoat and the dividing of the land. Well, the duties in the temple in 1 Chronicles chapter 24 were determined by the casting of lots. It was a way to level the playing field where every duty was divvied up and reassigned. The exposing of Jonah's sin, or when he was put on a boat and they went through a great storm, they were trying to determine who caused this. They used lots to do that. And then finally, determining rulership was another thing that was done by casting lots. And altogether, there are over 40 instances in Scripture, mainly in the Old Testament, about this practice of casting lots. And so it's an interesting study. You know, all of these are biblical methods to determine God's will. And where they're seeking a specific answer, casting lots was number one, based on quantity of occurrences. Next was Urim and Thummim. Remember, those were the stones that were kept in the breastplate. And we're not clear on all the details on those, but there's several occurrences of them being used to determine a specific answer. And then finally, we have putting out of the fleece, that example. When it comes to general direction, well, we weren't restricted just to casting lot. God provided miracles and dreams and angels and visions and talk to them and prayer and waiting as well. So God does provide and prescribe specific ways to understand his will. And what we've seen is over time, they tend to change. So when did the casting of lots cease in Scripture? Well, we find, if we look in the scriptures, that there's no occurrences of casting lots in scripture after the first chapter of Acts. And we think this is because there was a transition at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came to them. And it indicates that there was a new direction that God was taking for discerning his will. Because this was a new arrangement, wasn't it? In Acts 13:2-4, we realize now we're looking at the Apostle Paul and him going out. And it says, one day, as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul for a special work to which I have called them. So now they have the Holy Spirit. That was the change that occurred at Pentecost. And now they have specific directions. And you know, as we look through Paul's missionary journeys, he had multiple times when he had visions, when he saw the Holy Spirit, and it indicated it's time to go here, or it's time to go there, or don't go here, it's time to leave. And so it was much better arrangement than casting of lot. And so the Holy Spirit really replaced this practice of casting lots in the New Testament. Now, how do we discern God's will? Well, it's just like the Apostle Paul. We pray, we watch, and we wait. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, that enlightenment, we can get an indication of what we should do. And the answers could be yes, no, or not yet. But we feel that this is such a superior way of dealing with discerning God's will.